What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Ben Bolin, here with superstar auto editor Scott Benjamin. Scott, what's going on?
Nothing new, Ben. Just hanging out, ready to talk about some car stuff today.
I am glad that you are, because I am ready too, my friend. I have some problems.
Oh, what kind of problems?
Don't worry, they're all related to cars.
That's good.
Okay. I don't think I'm a very good steward of my car. I don't think I take very good care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more I thought about it, I think most people don't take very good care of their cars.
I think you're absolutely right. Yep. Yeah, there's some maintenance that is required from a car owner, and most people, it seems like, don't do it.
Yeah, so that's I guess what we're here to talk about today, routine maintenance of a car. You know, what is it? What do people do? What should they do? I mean, surely, do you have any horror stories about routine maintenance?
Oh, for sure. There's some horror stories, but I guess if you want to just kind of talk about some of the basic things that people do normally do, even people that don't particularly take great care of their cars, they still, I guess, just good enough care to keep the car on the road, you know, just enough to keep it running.
The subsistence and, level care.
Yeah, that's right, and or just-in-time maintenance, you know, that type
I
of
like
thing.
That.
So oil changes are probably the big one.
I remember oil changes.
Yeah, I don't like to hear that. How long ago do you remember an oil change?
Oh, I have a little sticker on my windshield, like most people. I don't do it myself. So.
Has it sun faded to the point where you can't even read the numbers?
I can read it.
Oh,
I can read it. I know exactly how under or over it is.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm not going to incriminate myself.
Okay, that's good. Well, you know that they, oil manufacturers recommend every 3,000 miles. So, you know, you got to get back in every 3,000 miles or 3 months. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not exactly what the manufacturers will tell you, though. If you look in your owner's manual, it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Typically, it's a little bit longer in between, but, of course, you know, the oil companies want you to get in there and
right.
Do it a little sooner than later.
Well, isn't it also the more frequently that oil is changed over time, isn't that better?
Oh, yeah. It's always beneficial for your car to have new oil in it.
See, I didn't know if that was just something the guys at the oil change place were telling me.
No. That's true. That's very true. That's probably the top maintenance item for a vehicle is getting your oil changed. It's important.
And that's why everybody knows that one then.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, everybody hears about it. And that's where, you know, a lot of the engine seizing stories come from, you know, that, you know, you're stuck on the side of the road and the car's, you know, it's lost all of its fluid underneath it. And, that's what happens.
That's what happens to people?
It can, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It can.
Has that ever happened to you?
I've had mechanical failure that's caused about the same thing, yeah, but not due to lack of oil or you know, my negligence.
Yeah, you don't strike me as somebody to neglect a car.
No, but I've been stuck on the side of the road plenty of times.
I think somebody has it at any point.
Probably, yeah, I would think so. It's pretty common.
So why does it make it better to change the oil more often?
Well, it keeps clean fluid in your engine, and that's important because you've got a lot of, you know, metal on metal contact in there. Of course, that's all there is, really. Mm-hmm. And you want to keep, you know, of course, you know, the oil is lubricant that keeps everything moving, you know, smoothly.
Right. Okay.
And to some extent cooling, but not so much. It's more just keeping things moving freely.
So does the oil get the oil's more translucent when it goes into the vehicle? When it comes out, it's black. So
well, it shouldn't be black, but it should be just slightly darker. Black,
Would
be a, yeah, he did a little, just a little bit, yeah. But black oil is not good. So you know, if you've got black oil coming out of there, you need, you know, take a, I guess maybe need to flush it out or something like that. And we can talk about that in a moment too. I shouldn't have said flush.
Oh wait.
I'm not going to give it away, but we'll talk about it later.
All right, okay. But, I'll hold on. Let me. Okay. I'm scooting to the edge of my seat here. but first, I really want to understand the concept of oil getting dirty. It's all metal on metal contact, and you say mainly the job of oil is one of a lubricant rather than a coolant.
That's right.
So what exactly is what's crusting up in the engine? What's making this happen?
Well, it's little tiny bits of metal, and it's also just wear on the oil itself. I mean, it's being, you know, put through quite a bit in your engine. I mean, you know how many revolutions per minute your engine's going you know, at different speeds, and it's unbelievable what they go through inside. It really is.
Okay.
So you know, it's churning, and it's, you know, hopefully it's not foaming, but it's churning. it's churning, and you know, it's being broken apart at the molecular level, and then reforming, and it's really, really intense what happens inside your engine, and you know, the oil goes through a lot, so. 3,000 miles doesn't sound all that bad to have it changed every 3,000.
Yeah, I guess that is very reasonable.
Yeah, it seems like it to me.
Yeah,
I mean, it does cool a little bit as well. I mean, there are oil cooling jets inside some engines that spray at the bottom of the pistons and keep those a little cooler. Uh-huh. You know, rather than if there was no fluid contacting them. But oil does get awful hot.
Well, what are some more of the basic things? Let's say, I guess, the typical things that people would think about. You said oil's not really a coolant as much as it is a lubricant.
Yeah,
that's right. What's going on with the things that actually are coolants?
Well, you're talking about coolant.
Oh, okay, coolant? Cool.
Okay,
right.
We'll talk about that,
I mean,
sure.
Oh, that wasn't an intentional pun.
No.
I didn't.
It's all right. We got it. All right, so coolant, we can talk about that. That's in the radiator, of course, and you've probably seen a little pool of green fluid underneath them.
Yeah.
Maybe in a parking lot or something.
Sure.
That's bad.
Oh.
That was bad. One reason that's bad is animals like to eat that stuff too.
I had heard that. That's true then.
Fatal for animals.
They like the smell, or they like the taste, or something?
Both.
They like the smell and the taste?
Yeah,
just unfair.
Well, it's got a sweet smell.
Uh-huh.
You've probably smelled it. It's real sickening sweet smell. Real bad.
Like a syrupy kinda?
Yeah. Yep. And animals, of course, are attracted to that for whatever reason. It's green. They shouldn't drink it, but they do. And it's fatal. It can be, you know, if they drink enough. So you got to be careful. Now, there's some eco brands that, you know, claim to be safer, you know, but they're still bad.
And here's some skepticism in there. Claim to be.
Well, you know, I wouldn't test it on my own, you know.
On your own pooch or something.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but you still have to flush that out at some point.
Yeah, you do. That's one thing that, you know, every year you should do that. Maybe even once every 2 years, you know, if you want to push it, I guess. But that's one thing that I don't think a lot of people do. They don't flush the coolant out, or they don't – even replacing it would be a good idea. You don't necessarily have to flush it. You can just replace it.
Well, what is flushing?
Well, flushing is when you're not just – taking out the old fluid, putting in new, you know, plugging it back up and putting in new fluid. Flushing is when you have the system wide open and you're running something continually through there to get rid of all the sediments and rust and things that have built up inside the system. Now, antifreeze has rust inhibitors that keep, you know, the interior components of, you know, like your radiator and your water pump and things like that where it runs through. It keeps all those clean, and it also is a lubricant. So I don't know if you've ever felt antifreeze in between your fingers maybe.
Yes.
It's very slick.
Yeah,
very slick.
It's a strange feeling.
Yeah, it's like oil almost. It feels like that. Smooth. That's lubricant that keeps your oil pump running smoothly, and you know, it keeps all the passages free.
So, but that's every year, so I guess that still is routine. Okay, so we've got oil every 3,000 miles or 3 months, and then we've got coolant at least once a year. We can push it to 2 years. Is there anything else?
Well, sure. There's other kinds of fluids in your car, of course. You know, if you've ever gone to a quick oil change place, they always check everything. You hear them yell out kind of a checklist of what they've done, you know, what they've filled or what they've topped off. You know, there's brake fluid, there's power steering fluid, there's, of course, trans fluid, but most times you can't check transmission fluid. Sometimes you can. Of course, there's coolant. They do that. They check the tires. But for the fluids, I mean, really, if you're using some of those fluids, that means that you've got a leak somewhere, or you know, there's a problem. You know, if you're using power steering fluid, that's not a good idea. I mean, that's really not the best. That means there's probably a leak somewhere. You know, you've already lost all your fluid. If you're using brake fluid, that's also not good. It should just stay right at about the level that it is all the time. That means you've got a leak somewhere.
That sounds like a very bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It is. And you can usually detect that. You know, you'll see a small little pool of fluid somewhere around your vehicle when you park. Uh-huh. Try to be aware of that. You know, that's important.
Will you notice these things? Is there something that would be a dead giveaway that you have a fluid problem?
Oh, sure. The power steering, you might hear it. You might hear it squealing, or you know, it might be more difficult to turn okay. the wheel. And you know, like in a slow driving situation, like maybe if you're parking. Or
oh,
something
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
You know, brakes, you may feel a difference in the pedal if it's a little softer. You know,
down a little bit easier.
Yeah, that could be. Just watch your fluids. That's important.
Okay.
And like I said, watch around your car after you park, and you know, try to determine if you're losing fluids, because that's not good either.
Oh,
or
wow.
You or your car.
That's quite a few fluids, right?
That's right.
Coolant, oil, brake fluid, not trans fluid.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, but yeah. Power steering fluid, definitely.
Yeah.
This is kind of maybe a stupid question. Windshield wiper fluid, does that count at all?
Sure, why not? That's another fluid for your car, but I wouldn't really call it maintenance item. You just know when it's out, and there's nothing critical that will happen if you run out of washer fluid.
Yeah, I just, you know what, sometimes, honestly, when I'm bored in traffic, I just like the button. You know, it does stuff, and the wipers come on.
So you like to just fully unload that canister of fluid on your windshield sometimes?
You know, you've nailed me, yeah. I tell myself I'm prudent, but like any other addiction, I'm not sure if I can quit.
You know what else is fun?
What's that?
Redirecting that little jet that sprays the fluid.
Yeah, can you do that?
Spray the car next to you.
Do you know how to do that?
Yeah, that's very easy to do.
We're doing after this is over.
Simple to do, and I've had it done to me as well. It's not it's not unusual.
Okay, so I've actually not been too far off then, and maybe I've been irresponsible in my use of windshield wiper fluid, but I haven't been that bad in refilling it.
Well, let me ask you this: what about other maintenance items? You ever take a look at your headlights and make sure all of them are working, or your taillights and make sure they're all working? His turn signals?
Oh, well, all the stuff in the front is definitely working.
How do you know that?
Because I drive at night and I use my turn signal. So I know that all that stuff is going on. Mm-hmm. As far as the taillights, no, I think I haven't really checked them. It always seems like that's one of the things, like having a kick me sign on your back. Mm-hmm. Most people, well, I say most people because I don't do it, but I wouldn't know unless somebody told me.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is with a lot of people. You know, somebody has to tell you that a brake light's out or, you know, just a tail light is out. You know what I do?
What's that?
If I have the opportunity and I'm somewhere, you know, that there's a kind of in a downtown city environment here, if there's an opportunity where I'm ever parking in front of a building that has glass on the front of the building.
Oh.
Oftentimes, I'll even, you know, in my same spot, if I pull in and I notice, hey, I'm looking at something, a reflective surface, maybe I'll turn the car around and park right back in that same spot, and then I check my turn indicators.
That's smart.
Just make sure that they're working, brake lights, tail lights.
That's smart.
Like I said, the little lights over your license plate.
Oh, yeah, those lights, yes.
Those burn out all the time.
Because you will get pulled over.
Or half of them burn out. That's annoying, too.
Yeah. I should probably check mine as well.
Well, what about like windshield wipers, things like that? I mean, there's you know, items that just kind of get worn over time too that you need to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Windshield wipers, you know, if they're not working correctly, that's easy to, you know, to spot.
Right.
So that type of thing is considered routine maintenance as well.
Okay. Okay. Can I take a second to ask you? There is a thing, and we're not going to name the specific component, that I've seen on windshields, especially after I get some maintenance work done, where they tell me, you don't have to use your wipers anymore.
Mm.
We've put this stuff on your windshield, and now the rain will just beat off of it.
That stuff really works.
You know what? We're going to have to disagree. It annoys me to no end. I can't deal with it. And sometimes in the sun, this stuff turns to a different shade, almost.
Is it gummy?
It's kind of gummy.
Is it? Actually, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I know what you're talking about, and I've used said product before, and I found that it worked best at highway speeds, and it also worked best after the sun was down. Now that sounds strange, but I found that, you know, the way it it beaded the water on my windshield. It was kind of it was almost like it made it too many small beads of water.
Oh, okay.
During daylight hours, but yeah. at night I could drive without my my wipers on. Just occasionally clearing them, and you do notice a difference when you clear it with your windshield wipers. But mm-hmm. It really does work at highway speeds.
Okay, so we've got the fluids, we've got the peripherals, I guess would be a fair word to call it, like the windshield wipers.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What's next on the list?
Well, I guess there's other things that you can just kind of monitor daily. I wouldn't say daily, maybe weekly.
Okay,
just take a good look at your tires when you walk out to your car. Make sure that they're not, I guess, bulging out on the sides, which would indicate that they're a little low, or overinflated. That would be a bad problem to have as well.
Really?
You can kind of tell if your car is slanting to one side as you're driving.
Yeah.
I see people with tires that are 75% of the way deflated, and they're still driving on the highway, and it just causes heat and all kinds of problems that the tire will give out at some point. So tire maintenance is very important. So you got to keep an eye on those too.
Tire maintenance, about at least once a week, is worth the time to check that.
Or just look at it. I mean, even if it doesn't look right to you, just give it a quick once over, I guess.
Right.
One other thing that we haven't talked about and I think is important: filters.
Filters.
Yeah, filters. Filters on on your engine, in your car. There's all kinds of filters. When you get an oil change, you get an oil filter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's one that. If you do it, of course, you need to remember to do that. If somebody else does it, I hope they remember to do it.
Okay.
There's an air filter. Sometimes they ask you if you get your oil changed in quick change place. They'll ask you about that. Actually, almost every time they ask you.
Now, is that filtering air going into the engine or filtering air going into the interior of the car?
Oh, you had it right the first time. It's the air going into the engine.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I'm talking about. That's the air filter. That's what they call the air filter. That's strictly the air going into the engine, the air that the car uses for combustion. The other filter that that you may not think about is the cabin air filter. The cabin air filter is the one that filters the air that comes into the car. That's the air that you and I breathe when we're the driver and passenger in the car.
Mm.
So that's an important one, and that's probably something that's changed just about every year. That's probably a good idea to do that. You'll find that when you figure out where your cabin air filter is, and they're usually kind of maybe behind your glove box, or they could be up just at the base of the windshield or something like that. You'll find that they're clogged with twigs and branches and little pieces of leaves and things like that, and bugs. So it's important to get that cleaned out.
So is that sounds like something that a car owner can do him or herself?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Okay. It's a small filter, usually about the just roughly the size of the width and length of a shoebox, maybe.
Okay.
Or even smaller. And like I said, they're pretty easy to find. They're usually either at the base of the windshield or they're behind the glove box.
Are most of these typical things we've been talking about, or most of these something that a car owner could do by themselves?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything could be done by a car owner. We're not talking about any kind of major mechanical, that you'd need to have, a full shop at your disposal to do.
No engineering degree required.
No, we're talking about just fluid maintenance and, making sure that everything stays operating correctly.
Okay.
Keep it lubricated and keep it clean.
The majority of these typical things, it sounds like the fluids and the filters and whatnot, we can do ourselves as car owners. And those are the kind of things that sound like preventative maintenance more than something you'd have to do or contact a professional for. Is there anything that most people won't notice until?
Oh, there are a lot of things that people won't notice until it's too late.
Until it's too late.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that once you get to the point where it's too late, then sometimes it is time to call in a professional, and then it gets dramatically more expensive. And of course, your vehicle's gone for X number of days or weeks at that point, and it's really bad to let maintenance go.
Could you maybe give us a list real quick of what?
Yeah,
some
I could just
of
give
things?
You just I, we just kind of run down a fast list of some things that people let or often let go too far. Brakes is a big one.
Guilty.
Brakes, yeah. Yeah, if you hear that grinding noise in your brakes, that's a little too late, and you have to take them in and have them turned or, the machine. Tires, that's something we talked about already, but, if you let your tires go to the point where they're bald, or if they, let's say you don't use your car very often, and they could even dry rot.
Okay.
That means the rubber just kind of dries out and, crumbles a little bit.
Oh,
yeah, that can be really bad. But that happens over years.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. It takes a long time. Belts often happen. Serpentine belts, you know, so you hear maybe squealing noise from underneath the hood when you try to accelerate away from the light. That's a loose belt.
You've heard my story about that one. Just to let everyone know, Scott is pretty familiar with my hilarious belt story, but we won't get into it here.
That's right. Yeah, it is hilarious. Yeah. So another thing that could go wrong would be timing belt. That's a big one. That's another type of belt, but this is one that, you know, the maintenance interval could be anywhere from 60,000 to 100,000, kind of depends on your car.
Uh-huh.
Definitely look into when your timing belt needs to be replaced, because if a timing belt breaks, really, really bad things can happen inside your engine, flatten your valves, that type of thing. So it could be very expensive. It's expensive to do it. I should say relatively expensive to have it replaced, but it's very expensive if you wait too long and it does happen.
You.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. That may be just about it that I really want to talk about. The overall message here is, though, that you do need to stay on top of maintenance, whether it's routine or things that you may not even consider. Just think about, you know, the list we've given you, and, you know, kind of look through your owner's manual and, you know, look at what they're telling you to do, because it's really important to keep your car running and, you know, operating in the right way.
Yeah, because I guess it's better, the logic being that it's better to spend $50 or $200 now than the thousands of dollars it would cost for a new engine or a new car.
Huh? That's right. Take care of it early.
Scott, thank you so much for coming in here today and setting me straight on a couple of these things. I know, I've been guilty of some auto heresy here, but I am penitent. I apologize. If it's okay with you, I'm going to go change my oil.
Well, Ben, I think that's a good idea. In the meantime, please stop by our auto channel on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If you're committed to living a healthier life, you might want to look into working herbs into your wellness routine. There's a reason people have trusted them for thousands of years. Nature's Way understands that nature is the ultimate problem solver, and they're constantly inspired by the power of nature. For example, their ginger root and slippery elm bark have been traditionally used for digestive support, and St. John's wort, holy basil, and ashwagandha can provide mood and stress support. And because Nature's Way sources from around the world and does a ton of comprehensive potency and quality testing in their state-of-the-art lab, you can be sure you're getting top-quality herbs. To learn more, visit nature'sway.com.